Oh, wow. We had to make a real double clutch on this because things change so quickly. So normally what you should be hearing tonight is the second half of Hitting the Curveball, which we went through part one. Well, part one had 3 points. Part two has, I believe, 5 or 6 points. And that was all up and ready to go. And I was just doing the finishing touches on it because it was by Thursday we found out what was going on. And then we said, oh, well, we got to change plans. You will hear that message next week. You will not hear that this week. Because tonight we need to talk about what God is doing and really bring attention to this amazing thing. Today is truly a wondrous and overwhelming day. And I don't believe there is a more grateful, a more joyful and humble group of God followers than we are right now. I think back to the Old Testament. I think of David and his mighty men when they were on the run. They were on the run from King Saul, who was out of control. And David was to be he was already anointed as the king by Samuel the prophet, but he had to wait. And him and his band of men ran. The group who traveled with David lived nomadically. While they ran from King Saul, and while they were on the run, they fought battle after battle after battle that was thrown at them, David and his faithful group. And though having no place to call their own, they fought. They didn't shy away from any battles. They stayed faithful, and they took ground for the God of Israel. They really did. That amazing group became, for David, the most effective fighting force that Israel would wind up having when he became king. This group that traveled, that had no home and lived as nomads, they were toughened by every single battle they went through. They grew closer to each other through all the trials and closer to each other through the challenges. They may certainly have come out of their adventure of being on the run and living as nomads bruised, come out battered and come out scarred, but they emerged immensely powerful. They came out of that time much smarter and wiser than they were when they went in, and they truly came out much, much more effective than they went in. Well, Westbridge, after 19 years for us without a home, to accommodate our weekend service. We've had no place to do our weekend service that we could continue on throughout the week. Westbridge's fighting men and fighting women are coming in from a nomadic life. That's how it's going to happen, guys. I'm just going to welcome them on in. What do you think? Wave them on in. You got pizza, you got a place to sit and eat it. How's that sound? Welcome to Westbridge, guys, 2.0. I'm going after them. I want people to find Jesus Christ. I want to eat. We have people here tonight who found Jesus Christ at Westbridge Community Church. We have people here who did that. Wait till you hear what happens in 2 weeks when you hear about somebody who became a Christian here at Westbridge Community Church. 2 weeks from tonight, special thing. You don't want to miss it. All good stuff. It's getting better and better and better. I love it. Now, if you have been around for the last month or so, you understand this great awakening that God has brought to us in the practice of prayer. This blindsided us. We did not know God was going to do this. Never have we prayed like this before. Never before. I never have. I've never gone on a Wednesday night, prayed for over an hour, 2 times in a row, and we're going to continue this. We're not stopping because God's doing something. I've never prayed for over an hour and had it feel so wonderfully enjoyable, so short, so engaging, so interesting, so moving as what's going on. Westbridge, as God has prioritized prayer for us, Westbridge 2.0 will share in that, and they will continue on in this priority of prayer. God is going to do it all because we are going to trust him and stay connected to him. So tonight, I thought I would offer a prayer to you. I want to offer a prayer, what I'm praying for us as we embark on this new adventure. I cannot believe I am standing in a place that is ours. 19 years! I know it sounds crazy, but don't think we didn't look. We looked like crazy. We called. Matter of fact, the day Mr. Robert and I went out, we looked over by the Teppanyaki and the Toys R Us, that whole big development. There was five locations in there. Five. Everything from $50,000 a month at Toys R Us to small little facilities in an old bank. We called on all of them. And guess what they said? No church. No church? You're out. Won't even talk to you. No houses of worship. Really? You got five empty places. We promised not to bother anybody. No churches. That's what we got. Don't think we haven't tried for 19 years. God just has a way of doing his thing when he wants to do it. And I say his timing's perfect. He knows what he's doing. He will not stay like this guy. Take plenty of pictures tonight. Take plenty of pictures of that back wall. It's all sheetrocked and spackled. Take plenty of pictures because I'm telling you, it's not going to look like this for long. Our sister church in Florida is meeting in almost the same size room. They are in a Wendy's, an old Wendy's. If you looked at it now, you'd never know it was a Wendy's. It's been transformed by God's people. And you guys, that's what's going to happen here as well. And I am pumped and excited for it. We are well beyond our capacity. We can have way more people than we have. And we're already talking about mounting speakers and getting more space on the floor. It's going to be incredible. So I want to offer my prayer. I want to offer my prayer to you. First, I pray this. Lord, may the church that is emerging as Westbridge 2.0, may this church never lose the grateful, thankful, and content spirit that has characterized it for 19 years. Amen. That's my first prayer. One of the most amazing spiritual disciplines that you faithful have developed. One of the most amazing spiritual disciplines you have exemplified and you have lived and are living today is your ability to take what God has given you and be content with that. You've done it for 19 years. I have seen it over and over and over. And even more than being content, even more than just saying, thank you, Lord, it's enough. Instead of being like that, you basked in the portion that God gave you, even when you saw others who were given more than you were given. You were thankful and grateful for anything and everything. An upper room with pillars everywhere where you had to basically look at half a service because you had to look around the pillars. A barn far away that took effort to get to, that you had to bring your own chairs. You were grateful. Sure, in that 19 years, we wondered. Yes, we questioned God. But remember, as we learned last week, our questioning always led us to praise the God who was supplying just what we needed. Just enough. Remember the story of the woman at Zarephath? Who every day would pour out the oil and make just enough bread for the day. And the next day, I'll pour it out again, but I know there's not one more little bit of oil. And it just kept going all the way to the end, till there was plenty. That's how God has supplied. You weren't here 19 years ago, a lot of you. I don't know if there's anybody who was here that first night outside of one or two of us. We started 19 years ago. I remember the first night. I remember pulling out of my garage in a $300 Ford pickup truck that we bought. Bought a $300 Ford pickup truck and put in the sound equipment that was donated to us from out of nowhere. The pickup truck that we had was so worn out that when I tried to start it the first night, October 19th, 2002, when I tried to start it to go to the service, it wouldn't start. And my father came over and hot-wired the truck. It was amazing. My father went, no problem. Boom, boom. He hooked a couple wires together. Boom, the truck fires up. We're on our way to Westbridge. Go start Westbridge tonight. But we thanked God for that truck because God gave it to us and it supplied what we needed to start the church. We did it. Didn't miss a week. Then God started really pouring blessings upon us. We came upon a used 10-foot black enclosed trailer. 10 foot. That's not very big. A 10-foot enclosed trailer. A trailer that I went to Indiana to get. I went to Indiana to get it because we would save $50. That's how things were, and we loved it. Oh, how we rejoiced because we had a trailer with a much lower lifting requirement. We now had to only pick up the amplifiers, only about a foot and a half to get them in the trailer, instead of the back of a pickup truck, which was pretty high. How we rejoiced. Church in a trailer, and we loved it. And again, it was God's boundless goodness to us. That's why we acted. That's the way we still are. But then things got even better. We moved from a 10-foot trailer, that little black one, to a 14-foot trailer. And get ready for it. If you weren't here for setup, this had a drop-down loading tailgate. Right to the ground. No more lifting. And we celebrated that God provision like we had been given a pirate's chest of treasure. We loved that blue trailer. Gratefulness, thankfulness, and contentment. The spirit of Westbridge. Never a building to use for our Saturday night service and then use throughout the week. Never. Others had that, but we didn't. Little Westbridge didn't get that. And we still were all grateful for what God gave us. And we praised him as the God who fulfills his promise in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, that says, "Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing." And you know when we really saw that? At our baptisms. Because we've always had to have one. I don't remember a year that we didn't need one. We had to have one. Because somebody got saved that year. Well, someone got saved. Okay, looks like we got... Oh, how we rejoiced. Baptism. I'd rather have baptism than a building. Amen. One. Just one. Over anything. I'll go back to the Ford pickup truck and keep hot wiring it. Because I want people to get saved. The building is a tool to get to that. Westbridge, like Paul, you have mastered the spiritual fruit of being content in all things. And my prayer, though, is that you never lose that incredibly healthy discipline that took you 19 years to perfect. My next prayer is this. Lord, let this place be a beacon of hope for all those who are longing for acceptance. A place that shines like a lighthouse into this stormy world and shows people the way to a Savior who said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and then I will in no wise cast any one of them out." Amen. For the last couple of weeks, God has been strengthening this core of believers. He's been strengthening us. We have been healing. We have been firming. We have been fortifying. And that is excellent. But God has done this for a reason. Soldiers, here's the deal. Lost people are going to come through that door right there. They're going to come. It's going to happen. I guarantee you, it absolutely will happen. Lost people will walk through that door right there. People whose lives are so, so heavy, so burdened. People whose lives have been hurt badly. People whose lives have been abused and people who have been wounded. And people who they don't even know right from wrong. They don't know it. They were never taught it. They've never seen it. People who don't know good from bad. People who don't know healthy from unhealthy. People who don't know what's functional and what is dysfunctional. Come through that door right there. I guarantee you. I almost had one a couple minutes ago. You see me almost get one in here? I was going for it. Come on in, man. Come on in. We are going to see people who have had wrong done to them in a big way. We are going to see people who have done wrong to themselves, who have done wrong to others and who have done wrong to God. The first thing this place needs to be is not painted. The first thing this place needs to be is not a little bit cleaner, a little bit nicer, a little bit. No, the first thing it needs to be is a place that's always accepting. Always accepting. Anyone, come as you are, was our motto before we opened our doors for the first time 19 years ago. Come as you are. It was printed in the newspaper before we opened our doors. And Westbridge 2.0, guess what? We already have people asking about this place. It's already happened. I met people yesterday who asked about it. Right there in that salon next door, they came out and talked to me. Want to know what we were about. And I invited them. Come on Saturday night. Come see. Westbridge 2.0, we already have people asking about this place. People who are interested in coming. People who are lost. They're lost. They've never been shown the way. Seekers who are knowing that there's got to be something out there. There's got to be a God out there somewhere, and I need to know about him. People who are even disillusioned. People who have tried religion or been introduced to a Jesus that isn't the Jesus we know at all. It does not matter. It does not matter where someone starts on their journey to God. It does not matter. They could start from anywhere in their journey to God. I don't care how bad they look, what they've done, how they smell. It does not matter how far away they are from God or where they're starting from their journey. All are welcome to come to Jesus and find healing, to find rescue, to find life and the power to change. That leads me directly into my next prayer. You see, this is a prayer that cannot be separated or disconnected from our call to come as you are. This is the second half of that. Lord, I pray that this place and your faithful followers will share readily and share proficiently your truth. Let the enlightenment flow from the lips and the lives that we live. Help each one here to couple acceptance with illumination. Let this place speak boldly and uncompromisingly to each one that we meet and say without any hesitation, you need Jesus. It's the answer. No matter where you're coming from, you need Jesus. Amen. Westbridge, the Bible makes it makes its hope abundantly clear. The Bible doesn't pull any punches. You can't miss this. It's in there over and over and over. And what is the hope? What is the message? What is the truth that we must let people know? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one, Jesus. Abundantly clear. John chapter 14, verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus speaking. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Whoever has the Son, whoever has Jesus, has the life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Friends, this again, this is not new to you. This is not new to you. Acceptance is commanded, but it must be coupled with the command to share God's truth. Jesus responded to Pilate, "You say I'm a king." Actually, here's what Jesus says why he was born. Jesus says, "I was born and I came into this world to testify to the truth." He wanted to enlighten the world that the way that we would find God. Friends, the newspaper article that was printed about us over 19 years ago, they shortened our motto. We did not give them half a motto. We never shortened it. They did. It has always been and must continue to always be the same motto. Come as you are, Alpha. Come as you are, Phillipsburg. Come as you are, Lopatcong. But become who God wants you to be. Come as you are and become who God wants you to be. Friends, the last thing we want to do, this is going to be rough. The last thing we want to do is give people a nicer, more comfortable ride to hell. We do not want to do that. We want them to find Jesus Christ and to find salvation. My prayer is that when people come here, they are inspired by God's word that is shared with them. And we are going to share it. You are going to hear tremendously good teaching in Westbridge 2.0. Tim Hoff will be here. I am so stoked. He's the pastor who taught me. You're going to hear from him. He's coming. You're going to hear from me. You're going to hear from Elder Robert. You're going to hear from, how about an apprentice Bible college student who's getting a Bible degree? Would you like to hear from a 20-year-old Bible student? Get a younger person's idea on what's going on in the world and how the Bible works in their life? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I am stoked. My prayer is that when people come here, they are shown how to embrace the Holy Spirit, which will enable them to live an overcoming life. I know it's hard sometimes. Sometimes it's like, I got to do this thing at home. It's a tough thing I got to do. I got to do this thing. I get it. It's tough. I know. We can't do it of ourselves. But the Spirit can power us to do those things. The Spirit can do that. And my prayer is that when people come here, they fall in love. They fall in love with God's guidance. They fall in love with God's leadership. And they fall in love with God's direction. Like King David did. The man after God's own heart. Well, what does that mean? Well, look what he did. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. David's cry, his prayer is this. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. The judgments of the Lord are true, David says. They are righteous altogether. That means always right. They are more desirable to me than gold. Yes, they are much better than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Westbridge, my final prayer for us as we move forward, as we just become so deeply embedded in this place, is that this house become a house of prayer. Lord, may each and every person who comes to this place or who worships online with us, may each one rise to a level where they truly love being with you in prayer. Where they truly love you, not in word or song, but that they love you in action and deed. Amen. Westbridge 2.0, may we love our Savior by wanting the best for him at our own expense. I would love for that motto to be somewhere in here. That we all know, always seeing it, what the definition of love is. If you love someone, you are saying, you are screaming, I want the best for that person at my own expense. That's what love is. That's what Jesus did. He wanted the best for the world. So much so, at his own expense, he gave his life. I pray that each of us would love him by having faith to walk on water when others tell you you're going to drown. I pray that we would want the best for Jesus Christ at our own expense, love him by suffering persecution and being ridiculed when we attempt what no one else has ever done. I pray that we would want the best for Jesus Christ at our own expense and love him by dying to our desires so we can bring about God's desires. That we would love him by being very quick to forgive. Very quick to look for the best in one another. I pray that we would love God by seeking to do the deeds that God himself has prepared in advance for us to do, and that we would love him by striving to keep unity among our brothers and sisters, to love him by protecting the flock from the powers of darkness, because they're in the world and we're going to run into them. And that we would always, always keep Jesus as our first love. My friends, God's plan for us for 19 years can now be very clearly seen. We can see what God's plan was for us because in hindsight, we're allowed, we can do it. We don't know what's ahead in 2.0, but we know what Westbridge 1.0 was supposed to be and did. Westbridge 1.0 was a call of God. He didn't tell us in the beginning, but we found out we were to be nomadic soldiers. 19 years. Can you imagine Jesus talking to the Holy Spirit, hitting one of the 19 years? You're going to give them, they're going to go without a home. 19 years. We're not going to give them a place for 19 years. Will they handle that? Watch. I'm going to power them up. They're going to do great. It was for us to be a small group of nomadic soldiers who fight for God's kingdom and who rescue souls here in the Phillipsburg area. Westbridge 1.0 was supposed to be unconventional, and it was. We would do things outside of the box, like church on Saturday night. But you understand the Sabbath better than any churchgoer I know. You know what it is to rest on a Sunday. You know what it is to have a day off better than anybody. I didn't invent that. I tried to do church on Sunday morning. God laid it out. Westbridge would see victories in its first 19 years, but they would be on a scale that God kept very modest. It was a modest scale of victories that we have had. We never, in 19 years, have compromised the Word of God. We've never compromised it. And believe me, this hasn't been easy. But we never compromised the Word of God. And we saw God's hand upon us over and over and over again. Also, Westbridge, for 19 years, though you have been small, you have been one of the most generous churches I have ever been a part of. Very generous. You invest what God gave you in your people. You invest God's message of love. You invest God's message of hope and God's message of deliverance. But now, God has given us this house to lease, and we are thankful for it. I don't know where it's all going, but I know this much. We will be modest. We will be modest with what we have, but we will share it openly, won't we? We will share it as big as we possibly can. We have no steeple reaching the sky. We have no church bells that ring in the day. We have no jaw-dropping or there's nothing jaw-dropping or astounding in our dwelling. In fact, like God living in a tent called the tabernacle, we will be inconspicuous here. Like a stable that God chose as the portal for his son to enter the world, God will achieve his purposes, not only in that stable, but here in our modest dwelling. And like a shepherd boy, whose own father overlooked him when the prophet asked for all the boys, we will be unassuming, with a small sign out front that used to say Joe Food Mart, who will now say Westbridge Community Church. And like a tiny village called Bethlehem, we will welcome the king here. Little town, gigantic destiny, Bethlehem. Little shepherd boy, the father of an eternal dynasty. Little church building in Alpha, with a God-sized calling to change the world. If I could offer just one more prayer, I pray that this house be a house of praise and worship. I pray worship will come out of this place that doesn't offend anyone, but that cracks the sky, that blows the clouds back, and God rejoices and dances around the throne with the music that comes out of here and the people who worship him. I pray that God would build his church and take it to wherever he wants it to go, and we will ride, but he will build his church. I'm excited about what God is going to do in this place. Bible teaching is really, that's kind of where I live. That's what I am supposed to do. And I am excited about the Bible teaching you guys are going to be getting. I left one name off, and I did it on purpose, because there's one more teacher you're going to be hearing from, and we're going to start the book of Acts. I've never taught the book of Acts, and Elder Robert will be right up here teaching on June 6th, and I am excited to have you learn the entire story of Paul and see the amazing missionary journeys, and I look forward to that. God is doing great things, and I look forward to what he's going to do, and I ask you to stand and pray with me. Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I thank you for giving us this amazing blessing. But Lord, you know the blessing we really want. We really want people to come to know you. We want to save those who are hurting, save those who are lost. Lord, help us as Christians to get out of the way and let you do your job. Help us to just follow along in what you're calling us to do. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this amazing group of believers. And I pray that we would keep the attitude of gratitude, thankfulness, and contentment that you gave us. Let that never change. Lord, let this be a place of acceptance for anyone who wants to come, anyone who wants to learn, anyone who wants to find the answers and find life change. And Lord, let this be a place that is continually resting in you. When we are weak, you are strong. And that's what we are seeing. We are watching it. And Lord, we are just willing to hang on and let you take us wherever you want us to go. Let each of our lives be our personal praise song to you. Let each one of us write our own unique melody with incredible harmonies, great music, but let it be with the actions that we live as we walk through this world and be that beacon you've called us to be. Thank you for tonight, Lord. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Who's loading the trailer tonight, Mr. Robert?
No. Oh,
have a great week, everybody. Love you.